All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and just take a second of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, dear Lord, and we just ask that you be with us this morning, dear Lord. I ask the Holy Spirit to be here, Heavenly Father, that everything that we do, we just want to honor you and glorify your name. I ask that whatever I speak, dear Lord, it comes from you. Give me the wisdom, the insight, dear Lord, to share what you have for us this morning, dear Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Last week, we spoke about realign, and I gave a brief little story, and we're kind of just a recap on that real quick, and I'll show you how that correlates or goes into what I want to talk about this morning. Amen?
Amen.
This is a vehicle alignment plays a critical role in the performance of your vehicle, and here are three biggest reasons why. For those that know about some mechanical and have worked on cars, you might know what this is. This is the tire life and savings. When your vehicle suspension is out of alignment, it's probably going to lead to uneven tire wear, and that means a shorter life expectancy for your tires. With regular alignment, however, your tires will last longer and save you money. And then the other one is safety. When your wheels aren't aligned, it can cause your vehicle to pull from right to left, undermining your control and handling. Comfort. Aligned wheels are much safer to drive, and they also make driving much easier. And on here briefly, I kind of just put out some of that correlates. This is if you're not aligned with God and His Word and just do what you want, our spiritual life will be uneven and can cut our life short. When your wheels aren't aligned, it can cause your vehicle to pull from right to left, undermining your handling. It says when we are not aligned and obedient with what God tells us to do, it can make it easy for the enemy to pull us from side to side and get us off the path that God wants us on. It's when we take our eyes off Him and try to undermine Him that we lose control. And a lot of us have done that in our walk. Amen. Comfort. Aligned wheels are much safer to drive on, and they also make driving much easier and enjoyable. And I got here, when we are aligned with our Lord, when we are in prayer, fellowship with Him, in His Word, obedient to His Word, doing what He asks us to do, then our walk can be better, and we can enjoy the blessings He gives us. Sebastian.
It's funny you brought this up because about a week and a half ago, I come out to the driveway and my wife had a flat tire. So I pumped it up with air and I took it over to Discount Tire because it was under warranty. And they were going to replace the tire. It was like $50 for the tire. But as I looked, now that car drove straight as an arrow. Take your hands off the wheel, no problem. But when I got down there and looked, the inner treads on all four tires were as bald as can be.
He said bald, and look at Ricardo real quick.
I'm getting the spot back here. But
that's why he said next to you. He had this in mind.
But it's like, even though like you think you may be going straight, if you're not, you know what I mean? It just kind of correlates with God's word. Like we think, like we feel like we're going on the right. And I felt like it was going straight till I looked at all them tires. And that's what caused the flat, because it was so bald. So I just bought a new car instead, so we're good. So.
God's word tells us we should check ourselves definitely against His word.
Amen.
Yeah. Ray, I was thinking of that movie, My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
You remember it was the alignment that saved the two guys.
Yes.
Because the girl got up there and she says, well, this wasn't aligned. And the same thing. The alignment can definitely, you know, save you. And, you know, you don't realize that if you're out in the ocean and you're on a boat and you're traveling, you know, maybe from Europe to the New World, you know, like Columbus or whoever came, and you're just off a fraction. Well, instead of landing maybe like in Puerto Rico, you're up, you know, in
Haiti.
South Carolina somewhere. Yeah, just being off that small amount. And I don't think any of us want to go and maybe have an operation, you know, where doctors doing brain surgery or something that requires, you know, sophistication and accuracy You know, yes. He's off a little bit. Next thing you know, you're, you know, like one flew over to Cuckoo's Nest, you know, like you got a lobotomy. So how important, you know, that is to be aligned properly with God's Word. Amen. And there's a lot of churches and Christians that we think we're aligned, and that's why it's so important to continually check ourselves and make sure we're aligned and that we're moving in that right direction.
Yeah. I like how God helps us. I'm speaking like us within this body. Because we read our word daily, and we're striving to become one with him. And of course it is a long road because of a lot of things that need to be dealt with within ourselves if we allow the Lord. But I like how our teachers and our pastors, when they seek God out, and then you come to church and it's in line with what you're reading, how much that makes you feel like, God, thank you so much that because I've dedicated a time for you to live for you, to worship you in church. Because a lot of people think, I don't have to go to church, which is a lie from the pit of hell. You do have to go to church. We do need to be straightforward with our alignment with our mind. It might take some years to get it straight with God because there's all kinds of junk that's funneled in our soul that is a lie. And we believe those lies. We protect those lies unknowingly. But the real way that you're only going to go through that fire and that refining is to stay still in a church with your pastors and your leaders and the teachers who teach the right word of God.
Amen. Amen. It says, in our spiritual walk, we need to make sure that we are in line with what the Lord tells us to do. And as I get more into the story, you'll see how relevant that first statement is. Okay? It says, we are in line. If we are in line, we have to be in line with what the Lord tells us to do. If we're not, there are consequences that we will pay if we get off track of what God told us to do. Amen. And a lot of us will go through that, have been through that. If we are getting offline of what he tells us to do, there will be consequences. Sometimes we want to veer away from the path he puts us on, and then he has to realign us. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I really don't want the Lord to realign me. I will try and do whatever I need to do in prayer, getting into his word, fellowship with my brother and sister, and make sure that my life aligns with his word. Because a lot of times, we just want to realign ourselves by ourselves and for ourselves. And everything becomes about me and just me and I, and that's all we do. Here are three stories of when God himself realigned lives. God himself realigned some lives. The first one, Saul. Saul was still breathing, and a lot of you know these stories, have heard these stories. And first of all, understand that all these stories are true. It's God's word, and everything in God's word is true. There's not one word, syllable, letter that is wrong in God's word. Everything is perfect. When somebody says there's nothing perfect in this world, you're wrong. God's word is perfect. Always. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, and by the way, it's referring to Christians, and that's why they were called, you know, by the way. It says, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And that's important. Nobody shined a flashlight. Okay, wasn't that somebody just, no. It says, suddenly a light from heaven, that's an indication, flashed around him. So it wasn't just a small light that caught, you know, the corner of his eye or anything like that. It says that flesh surrounded him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I don't know about you, but I really don't want to get to this point. I really don't. You know, I want to try and make sure that, again, my walk is where God wants me to be, because I don't want him coming up to me and says, "Hey, you know, get up. Here's what I want you to do, and here's what you're going to do it." So I want to make sure that I'm lined up with what God's word says. So the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. It says here, God met Saul on the road to realign or redirect him. Sometimes we think we are on the right path, but it's not the one he wants us on. It says it took him, you know, God had to himself go up to Saul and redirect him. Now, Saul thought he was doing all the right things. He thought he was serving the Lord. He thought, "I'm good. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. This is what God wants me to do." It wasn't what God wanted him to do. And Saul, Paul, was on his way to do even more damage. He was on his way to Damascus to find more people that were Christians and throw them in prison. So he was on his way to do more destruction. And God himself met him on this road and redirected his path. He had to realign where he wanted him to go. And a lot of times, God does that with us. We think, like said, that we think we're on the right path. And we're not. We're not. A lot of times it's because we don't seek God's wisdom. A lot of times we try to seek our own wisdom. And we think that we are on the right path because it just makes us feel comfortable. There's something about this path that makes me feel comfortable. And I used the illustration last week of the navigator and the driver of one of those off-road races. If the driver decides that he wants to just go on this way because in his mind or in his view, the path looks nicer, straighter, less bumpy, it's not the road that the navigator has for him. This is not where we need to go. I have the map. I know where we need to go. God says, "I know what I want for you. I have the path ready for you. I know exactly where you want to go. I know exactly where I want to put you and how I'm going to get you there." And what happens if we decide that we want to go ahead and veer to one side or the other? And just like Pastor Don said, that one little inch on a screen on a ship can mean miles. Ricardo has been on airplanes. One little bad movement on a jet going, I don't know, Mach 4 or 5 can make a big difference. I mean, with the split of a second, okay, you're going at the sound of past the sound of light or sound. And on your screen, it might not seem so big. You know, how much difference will that make if I just do this? Going Mach 4 or 5. Just this. I mean, I've never been on a plane. I've never flown a plane. But I can imagine that it wouldn't take much to destroy or actually killing yourself. Destroying a million, $2-5 million plane. So a lot of times we think that something that's so small, if I just veer a little bit to the left, it won't make that much of a difference. It made a difference on the car. Now, that could have been a whole lot worse. thank God that it was just a flat, that the person wasn't on the road going 70, 80 miles an hour, all of a sudden a blowout. Yes, Bob.
The point about his tire was, what it was a toe end was off. Was that what would cause that? And that's only like one part of a 10-part of alignment.
Yes.
But if just one part is off, you know, you can think, well, my life is doing good, except maybe a little bit here. That little bit here is a more than enough to ruin that tire or to ruin your life.
Yes. Yes. Amen. The second one is Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 through 37. All this happened, and again, a lot of you have read these stories. If you don't know them, I encourage you to open your Bibles. These aren't just stories. This is not just something, you know, just to read. This can impact your life. It can change your life. It can give you encouragement. It can give you words of wisdom. It can give you words to share with somebody else that might help them change their life. I'm not going to change anybody's life. God can change your life. I'll just be an instrument. God wants to use me for that. Praise God. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Do you get the point? What do you keep hearing here? He did a lot, didn't he? Yeah, exactly. Me, myself, and I. That's a good one, Fred. Me, myself, and I. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying. Me, myself, and I. I did this, and you'd be surprised. And while I keep going. "And for the glory of my majesty," even as the words were on his lips, and we'll finish that here in a second. These three words changed his life. Three simple words, or three comments. Three simple comments, well, not really simple. Three comments that he made changed his life. It impacted his life. And you would think, well, if I just say this, how bad can it be? Say it three times. He did. Keep having that same attitude. Because a lot of times it's not just saying it. He had that attitude. Okay, it's not just saying it. He had that attitude. In his mind and in his heart, that's what he believed. That it was because of him is how everything is so great, and look what I've done. Look at what I've built. If it wasn't for me, this wouldn't be here. And a lot of times, we get that same attitude. If you invite a person to church, praise God. You invited somebody, you want them to experience the life that you have right now through God. That's great. That's beautiful. We should all do that. But don't make the mistake that he did and say, well, it was because of me. She got saved. It was because of me that their life changed and was turned around. It had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with me. God is the one that changed their life. He is the one that has the power to do those things. I have no power whatsoever. It says that even as the words were on his lips, a voice, and we hear this again, a voice from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people, and you will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like an ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone. God had to realign Nebuchadnezzar real quick. Now, sometimes God will be merciful and give us an opportunity, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God will say, you know, enough is enough. And a lot of times we take for granted that he's a merciful God and that he loves us, and we just take that for granted a lot of times and just keep doing the things that we're doing that aren't pleasant to him and say, God will forgive me. Yes.
One of the reasons that God had to do this with him is because he loved him. He had the one sin that can destroy you, pride. Pride goes before destruction, and according to the word.
Amen.
And you don't get up from being destroyed.
No.
So God was actually merciful.
Yes. Yes.
He did it out of love.
Well, three arrogant words or statements. Because of those three arrogant statements, okay, and it was not just the statements. Again, this is what he believed. This is his attitude towards it. That it was because of him that, you know, everything in front of him was the way it was. All this beautiful splendor, the way the kingdom was being run. Everything was because of him. And a lot of times, our arrogance causes us to get into trouble with God. Yeah, he's merciful. He loves us. But there's times where, you know, we parents, how many times, and you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to, discipline your kids.
Yeah.
Amen. But now, did you do that because you hated your kid? No. You wanted your kid to not get into trouble, to not get hurt. It's because you love them. Is the reason why you discipline them. It's not because you hate your kid that you do this. It's because we love them and we don't want nothing bad to happen to them. That's how our Father is with us. He doesn't want us to suffer in a sense where it's just devastating to us. He loves us. He proved it. I mean, how many times does he need to prove it? He did it. He proved it. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for every single one of us. You know, it's astonishing how some people say, well, you know, how do you know God loves you? What? How do I know? Have you ever picked up a Bible? I know because he proved it. God sent his only Son to die on the cross for me. Would you do that for me? I'll tell you what, tomorrow I want you to sacrifice your kid for me. Send your oldest. You want to do that? Well, no. You got four kids. You got three left. I want you to sacrifice one of your kids for me. You'll have three left. You ain't got nothing to worry about. You won't do it. I know you won't. But God, our Father, did that for us. So yes, I know for a fact that he loves me. And because he loves us, a lot of times he needs to correct us. A lot of times he needs to realign us. This is what the title is, to realign us. Because a lot of times we get off alignment. We want to start doing our own things. We want to start going our own way. And God, a lot of times, will say, well, no. Sometimes he'll do it in a nice way. And say, no, it's okay. Come on, over here. And sometimes, right, he needs to swing the hand a little further back and let it go a little harder. No, this is where I want you, son. I don't want you to get hurt. Because if you keep going on that path that you're going on now, I know the path. I know what's on the other side. And believe me, son, you're not going to like it. So listen to me. I'm telling you, stay on the right path. And God will go ahead and realign us. This is where I want you to be at, son. The third one is Jonah. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. It says, Jonah did not wish to preach to the people of Nineveh, for they were enemies of his land and the land of Israel. So Jonah tried to go away. Mistake number one. You can never get away from God. I don't care where you think you can go. You're not going to get away from God. You can go on some deserted island. All right? Find a cave that goes back, I don't know, 50 miles. That goes down 30 miles. And you find yourself a little corner. And you think that nobody's watching you. And God's standing there going like, you didn't bring a flashlight, did you? So that's how God, you know, so when you think that God isn't watching you, God is everywhere. He knows exactly where you are.
Right.
Yes.
Who created that little corner?
Exactly. Who created all that? God himself. God the whole time's watching. This guy thinks he's going to get away. I don't know where he thinks he's going. There's no water down there. I didn't put any. There's no light. I didn't dig a little hole so the sunlight can come down. There's no food. I didn't put the food in that cave. The food's on the other side of the island. God knows everything. So if you think you're going to get away, you're not going to get away. There's nowhere you can go to hide from God. It's impossible. Impossible. Jonah did not wish to preach to the people of Nineveh, for they and the enemies of the land of Israel. So Jonah tried to go away from the city where God has sent him. When God sends you somewhere to do something, do it. Why make it difficult? When your parents say, honey, I need you to clean your room, clean your room. Don't make it difficult. When your mom and dad say, honey, don't take the car today. I need it to go to the store. Don't take the car. Because guess who cooks that food? Your mom. So if you took the car and she can't go to the grocery store, how are you going to eat? So see how important some small things are? It kind of starts making sense. It says here, so Jonah tried to get away from the city where God has sent him. He went down to Joppa and took a ship for Tarshish. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Remember, he got on the ship. So all of a sudden, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. He didn't get very far, did he? He's thinking again, I'm getting away. I'll just get on the ship. God don't know where I'm at. I'm in the clear. And he takes off. And the Lord says, no, you don't. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. I don't like being on boats. Don't like it. I don't like flying, and I don't like the ocean. I like solid ground. And years ago, we went on a salesman retreat. We were in Florida. What kind of retreat is that for a salesman? I'm in Florida. Okay. So they said, you know what, they got this events they do every day, and one of them was they're going to take us fishing. So I said from get-go, boat, water, not me. So all the guys said, Ray, come on. They don't go out that far. They just go out a little bit. You know? So I'm going like, really? Then you start, that doubt kicks in. You start questioning things. Well, is it really that bad? Did the snake really say that? Did God really say that? So I said, well, how far do they go out? Well, not that far. You'll be able to see it for sure. So I'm thinking, okay. So I start trying to make sense of things. Don't we do that sometimes? Well, you know, if I do this, I'll say this happened and that happened and that happened. Now we try and justify our mistakes in our lives. So I went and said, well, all right, let's go. So we go out there, and they go, well, let's go downstairs in the boat. And they got beers, and they got stuff like that, and we'll just have a couple of drinks. Let's celebrate this. So I'm like, okay, makes sense. The whole time, it's like, well, we stay close, right? So I'm thinking, if this boat tips over, I can swim to shore. So I got two life vests on. Remember I said I don't like the water. I don't like the ocean. So I got the, and I, you know, and I'm trying to drink my beer in this. All right, so we go out there, we come up from the inside the boat. And I look on one side of the boat. It's probably on the other side. So I go to the other side, and the water's a little choppy because it had rained. And I get motion sickness. Another reason why I don't like the water like that. So I look to the other side, and they're laughing. They're cracking up because they see my expression that I don't see land anywhere. So I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. So I can imagine what this felt like when the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. On that day, it was just a little bit, water was just a little choppy, and I wasn't happy. Right? So the whole time, and, you know, and of course, for them, the way to fix it is drink more while you're on the ocean, and the waves are going back and forth. Does that make sense? That's their solution. Drink more, and you'll be okay. That's like if something breaks, what do? Duct tape. That fixes everything. Hey, for the guys, hey, it works, okay? Something breaks, ladies, don't look at us funny when we bring out the duct tape. It works. It says, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Again, I was in that boat, and it was just going a little bit, rocking back and forth a little bit. And the more I drank, the more green I got. It just wasn't happy. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw cargo out of the ship to lighten the load. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast out lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. Something bad starts happening, we start looking around, don't we? Right? We do something wrong, whatever, and we want to look, well, he was here too. Hey, pastor, he was here too. Right? We don't want to do this. We don't want to point at ourselves. We automatically want to start looking around to see who else we can put the blame on or include them. Right? A lot of times we want to include somebody else. So it says they asked him, tell us who do you work for, and where do you come from, or where's your country, from what people are you from? He answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. See, Jonah knew why this was happening. He knew. As soon as it started going on, Jonah knew. Now, it says here earlier that he was in a deep sleep at the bottom. But when they went and woke him up and he saw what was going on, he knew exactly what was going on and why it was happening. It says here, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea. How many of us will say, I'll take responsibility, Pastor? It was my fault. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to point the finger at anybody else. Pastor, it was my fault. I'll take responsibility. So whatever punishment or whatever needs to be done, you know, I deserve it. Not a lot of us would do that, especially our kids. You ever see that commercial where it was, you know, nobody did it in the house? And the little girl comes out with a shirt full of paint, and her little brother's on the table with paint. And they look at him, and he goes, wasn't me. He's got all the paint in his hands, right? But he says, it wasn't me. And automatically says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it was my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, all this goes back to the title, Realigned. So Paul, Nebuchadnezzar, and Jonah, God himself had to redirect. Each one of them was on a path. Each one of them had a place they needed to go to or something they needed to do, and God redirected them. Jonah wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to be obedient to what God told him to do. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You thought that cave was bad. We think sometimes in places that we're at are bad. Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. I can imagine. Have you had a dead fish been around for a while? Years ago, I used to work for this company, and we dealt with seafood. And this guy says, "Hey, Ray, can you hook me up with a case of lobster, king crab legs?" I'm like, "Sure." So I worked night shift. So I threw this big box in my trunk and went home. I worked night shift. So I got home. I was tired. I went to bed. Middle of July. It's about 105 degrees outside. So he calls me up in the afternoon. "Hey, Ray, did you get that for me?" I'm like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. Then I'm thinking, still in the car. So I go out to the car, and my car smelled like fish, bad rotten fish, for like about 2 or 3 months. I tried everything. Remember that carpet fresh powder? Oh, yeah. I mean, I bought that stuff, I mean, by the gallon. And my whole trunk was all white because of so much powder. If I would have got pulled over in Southwest Detroit with a trunk looking like that, easy 20 to 30 years. And I would have been okay, because as soon as he opened the trunk and smelled that, he would have closed it. He said, "That's okay, you can go." So that was my... it was terrible. So my car smelled, oh my gosh, it was terrible. And then I felt bad because after a while I got a different car, and my daughter says, "Hey, Dad, can I have that car?" I'm like, "Yes, please." And I gave it to him. What a good father I am. And I gave it to my daughter. She goes, "Dad, what is that?" I said, "I don't know. It smells like fish, doesn't it? Probably ran over something." And when you're not in the line with God, lies come out real quick, don't they? And I wasn't aligned with the Lord at that time, so I was kicking lies left and right. I didn't want to do what he did and take the responsibility. I wanted to try and wiggle my way out. It says, God himself realigned these men's life. And one of them, he did it in a mild way. Paul lost his vision for 3 days. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes if I can't see something just for like about 2 seconds, I start panicking.
That's scary.
It's a scary to not be able to see. You know, have you done that where you want to try and have some understanding what a person that can't see, a blind person, and sometimes you'll try to do something at home? I wonder what I can do for like, you know, see how far I can get without opening my eyes. And it takes just about a second or two until you run into something, especially something in your own home that you've had there for years and you still run into it. So you can imagine not being able to see for 3 days. And it says, on one he did it in a mild way. The other two, he went a bit more severe. Sometimes God will do it in a nice, mild way, and sometimes God will realign our lives a little bit more harsh. Because sometimes we need that, because we're stubborn, arrogant sometimes, just like Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't just he thought, I mean, he actually really believed that because of him, everything was happening. When our lives are not aligned with his purpose, then sometimes he will realign us. In Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise, the Lord's discipline, and do not present his rebuke, or sorry, resent his rebuke, because the Lord," and here's somebody mentioned this earlier, "because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." Now, these three men, God himself realigned their lives. Some of them, he did it in a nice, mild way, and I don't know how, if you would call that mild, not to be able to see for 3 days. And the other two, he threw one in the belly of a fish, and the other one like an animal. And by the way, that wasn't for a week or two. 7 years. To look like an animal, crawling around eating grass, doing everything like an ox, because of his arrogance. His pride kicked in. And we have to be careful. This is a sign to us that we need to be careful. We need to make sure that our arrogance and our pride doesn't get in the way with what God's word tells us to do. I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to do is end up smelling like a dead fish or fish for a long time. I don't want to be blind for 3 days. And I don't want to walk around looking like an animal for 7 years. I don't want to get to a point where God himself has to realign my life. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything now that my life aligns with God's word. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can now to do what his word tells me to do. Get to his word, fellowship, be obedient to God's word, be obedient to my pastors, come to church, make sure that my tithing is what it's supposed to be. It's not just one little thing, like Bob said earlier. Okay, one little thing of so many variables can make a difference. So I want to make sure that every single little thing in my walk with God, in our walk with God, is aligned with what he wants us to do. Because if it isn't, there's consequences. A lot of us think that, oh no, God loves me, he won't punish me. I'm here to tell you that by his word, he will. If God feels fit to do it, he'll do what he wants to do. Who are we to say he won't? Or to think that our lives are more important than his, or that we got so many things lined up. God, you know, God will forgive me. He knows how busy I am. I just don't have time right now. God understands. He does. His thinking and your thinking is not the same. Amen. So I encourage everyone here. And it says, and I'll finish up with this. Restoration is because he loves us, he has planned for us. It says, Paul, in the first one, "But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to their people of Israel. I will show how much he must suffer for my name." Isn't that great? God didn't say, hey, look, everything's going to be peachy and rosy. But you know what? We all know Paul was a great evangelist. I mean, he went out to everywhere and preached the word of God. That's restoration. Jonah, when God saw that they and how they turned away from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So God showed his mercy. He lined them up, realigned their lives, and he showed them mercy. He showed them love. He restored their lives. And the last one is Nebuchadnezzar. "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and the nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater." Isn't that wonderful? You know, when God realigns your life, like he did all of us. We're all here because God realigned our lives. Right? We were all on the wrong path. We all thought we were doing the right thing. God came into our lives and realigned our walk. Right? And then he blessed us. Not only did he realign your lives, he turns around and blesses you. And that's what he did with them. And it says, now I Nebuchadnezzar praise and exalt the glory of the King of heaven, because everything he does is right. And all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. You know, I want to try and live a humble life. I don't want to make it to a point where God has to humble me his way. Because it might be harsh. It's going to be rough. So I encourage you, these are not just stories. These things happen. They are real. They are true. And this tells us, this helps me open my eyes to make sure that I'm aligned with what God wants me to do and not have him to realign my life. I'm grateful that he realigned my life, that he lined it up to what he wants to do, wants me to do, and has blessed me. We all have blessings from God. He blessed us all. We're all here together. Praise God. Amen. So I'll finish up with this last one here. He wants you to be in line with him so he can use you and bless you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen. Amen. That's all I have. We have prayer downstairs. Amen. I encourage you to go downstairs, and let's get prayed up. Amen.